We praise you and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of your blessings you have given to us. Especially on this day, Lord, when we have the blessing of freedom, we give you thanks. We return to you now a portion of your blessing to us in our tithes and our offerings. Lord, we ask you to bless it and multiply it, that we can use it prudently and diligently for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, so far today we've had a different thing in our service, haven't we? We've had Jacob reading, and we've heard about what this day is all about. Do you know what it means to remember? Can you tell me something you can remember? Well, he's thinking about something that happened, something that maybe made us happy, something that we'd like to do again. I remember that day that we did this, or remember that day that we did something else. You ever say that at home? Remember when we went to see Grandma and Grandpa? Remember how much fun we had? Remembering is thinking about things that have happened. And as was talked about, as Rhiannon stole half of my children's moment, but that's beside the point. As it was said before, we remember that all the things that we have in our country is because somebody was willing to go and fight the battle so that we could have those things, so that we can be free. Around the world today, there are a lot of people that can't do anything they want. They have to do what somebody else tells them. And not just be good and do what you're told as your parents, but adults and children alike who can't go to church because they're not allowed to in their country. They can't go to school. I was just saw the other day about some, it was on the television, about some boy. Anyway, he was about 10 years old, and he had just got freedom out of that country, across the sea, but he would have been, if he hadn't been taken by somebody and brought to another country, whether it's England, United States, or Canada, can't remember which it was, but he would have been a soldier at 10 years of age, out learning to fight a battle and harm people. But in our country, because we had soldiers who would go and do that, we are free. And that's why we have the prophets to remind us that we are free. But you know, in the Bible, it tells us in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that he'll lay down his life for his brother. And that's what Jesus did for each of us. He laid down his life so that we could have life. And that's what soldiers have done for many years and are still doing right now, willing to lay down their life so that people can live a freedom, a free life, and that they can come to church, learn about Jesus, and ask him to come into their life. Let's pray before you go downstairs. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. And help us, Lord, to really remember the sacrifices that have been made in order that we can live as we live in our country. In this country, Canada. Help us, Lord, to realize that you are there for us, that you gave your Son for us. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Let's pray. Again, we come to that time, in our time of service, our time of worship, where we pause. And we rest in the quietness of God's presence, in his stillness. And we'll have many things that we brought with us from the week past, and we have anxieties of the week ahead. And yet we pause at this time to be fully present with our God, for he is fully present with us by his Holy Spirit here in this place. And so, Father, we come before you, we give thanks for the week past. And Lord, on this day, on this special day of the year that we set aside, Lord, we give thanks in memory of those who gave their lives for our freedom. Lord, for we know that there are many in the world who are under tyranny and oppression and who yearn for the freedoms that we have. and so we give thanks. And Lord, in our thanks, Lord, we would ask that each one of us would continue to uphold the freedoms that we have. The freedom to be different from each other. Freedom to have a different point of view. The freedom to worship in whatever way we please. Lord, we pray that that will be protected in this country. Lord, that any who come here will have freedom. Lord, we thank you for our individual blessings of home and family. And Lord, I pray for those where there is struggle and hardship and difficulty in family life. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will descend on every home represented here, and your peace will be there, and the sweetness of your Spirit will abide with every couple and every family. Lord, I pray you will walk alongside those who walk alone, that they may feel your presence and have the joy of knowing you walk with them. And now, as is our custom, in this quiet time, you have something to give thanks for today. Maybe something recent, maybe just in the last week or so, or maybe in the last few years, God has been blessing you over and over. Give him thanks for that. And maybe you have something on your heart and on your mind that's been a burden. This is now the time for you to meet with him one-on-one and offer him your praise and thanksgiving and your prayers of supplication. You hear the prayers of your children, you hear the prayers of your faithful ones. Lord, I ask you now, by your Holy Spirit, to confirm in each one of us your presence with us individually, in our homes and families, Lord, and in us as a congregation. Lord, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may you light a fire in us and on us and through us, that you mark it more of us, and that the community will take notice that God is at work, God is alive, and he's doing a great work through Christian Baptist Church. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tammy's come up here today because she's actually preaching a sermon today. Now last week we started a series on called Close Encounters, and we were going to be looking at the men and women in Scripture who have had one-on-one encounters with God, and we're looking at their response, and we see ourselves in those stories, like what is our response when we feel a very strong call of God to do a certain thing or to go into a certain ministry. And we began with Moses. He was called by God, he was equipped by God and sustained by God as he carried out God's will. He did not do this calling to go and speak to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Israel. He didn't do it on his own strength because he had none. And in fact, in his long argument with God, he gave five excuses for why he was not the one. I'm God, I'm not the one. He says, I'm not followed. He said, who am I? He said, who am I? I'm not qualified for this calling. That was his excuse number one. He said, I don't even know you. I don't know your name. What name shall I say has sent me? So he said he felt he lacked the knowledge to fulfill the calling. And what if they don't listen to me? He said, I don't believe I can do this job. Excuse number four was, well, I'm not a very good speaker. I don't speak too good. And so I'm not the one. So he denied that it was his calling. And then excuse number five was a flat no. Just send someone else. Just send someone else. I'm not going to do it. I do not want to fulfill my calling. So Moses went through a list of excuses, and you and I have done it too. We've gone through our list of excuses. But God always wins. God always wins. Remember that. And remember also that God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. He didn't choose Moses because of his leadership ability. He had none. He didn't choose Moses because of his speaking ability. He had none. And he's not choosing you because of any of your, what you might think are your innate qualities or abilities. If he calls you, he's just called you. Sometimes a calling can have a real impact on you and your family. But unless you accept the call and move with the hand of God, life will be difficult. Because if God wants you in a certain place to do a certain job, he will put you in that place to do that certain job. And you can go quietly, or you can go kicking and screaming, but you will go, because God has called you. So that's Moses, a very reluctant leader, but a quite a prominent character in our Bible story. Throughout the story, Moses is referred to over and over again. So he challenged God, but God won. And so Moses, the reluctant leader, went with Aaron, his brother, and led the Israelites out of slavery, and they all lived happily ever after. Well, not quite. Not quite. See, the other part of the story is the Israelites' response. The response of the people that Moses was sent to free. What about them? What was their response to the man that God sent? Well, it wasn't very good, as it happens. They were, to put it bluntly, an ungrateful bunch. An ungrateful bunch. So that brings us to today's text, and that's why Tammy's here. I've asked Tammy to read Exodus 16, 1 to 12. That's the one you've got. Exodus 16, 1 to 12. Tammy's going to read it for us.
The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If we only had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God."
The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thank you, Tim. And when you're studying scripture, and you're in your devotional time and you're reading a passage of scripture, one of the ways to get a sense of what's going on in the text is to look at the repeated words, any repeated words or phrases. What's the repeated word throughout this text? Grumbling. Now it says at the very beginning, on the 15th day of the second month after they come out of Egypt. That's about 6 weeks. They're 6 weeks out of 400 years of slavery. Okay? You'd think they'd be happy? No. They're not happy. They're grumbling against God, and they're grumbling against the leaders that God has appointed. And God is not happy with them. But he doesn't punish them, not yet anyway. First, he promises blessing. You can take this allegorically if you like, but it's actually literally, he said, okay, you can have bread in the morning, you can have meat at night. You are going to be fed. I've rescued you from slavery and I'm going to feed you. But as the story unfolds, we discover that these people, having spent over 400 years, many generations, in bondage, in slavery, they don't seem to be very grateful for having been set free. They've lived for generations under a very oppressive regime, and now that they're set free, they seem to have found a lot to complain about. You wonder what their complaining was like when they were in bondage under the crack of the whip, the 6 weeks ago. But they seem to be in freedom now, promised by God to be fed, and yet they're grumbling and complaining. Seven times that word is used in this text. God's very compassionate at this time, this first time. But as the Exodus story unfolds, God gets increasingly more frustrated with them and mad at them. When they reach Mount Sinai, where Moses receives the Ten Commandments, while Moses is up there face to face with God, we know the story. They're down at the bottom of the mountain, casting an idol out of gold and worshipping it and declaring that this is the God that brought them out of Egypt. Very ungrateful people. In Exodus 32, it says, 32:7, Moses is still up the mountain with God. He says, this is a very interesting passage. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Verse 9 says, I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses. They are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. So God sends Moses, releases the Israelite captives from hundreds of years of slavery, brings them out into freedom, feeds them, and they go worship another god. A god of their own making. God's anger burns against them. And in verse 11, Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? I find this passage interesting. You may have missed it in the reading, but at the front, at the top, in verse 7, God says to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. And at the end of the passage, at 11, Moses says to God, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt? It looks like neither God nor Moses wants to own these people. They both say, no, they're your people. No, they're your people. No, no, not mine. They're yours. Those are the kind of people they were. Nobody wants to claim ownership for these people. They're just complainers, grumblers, whiners. They're just not happy, they're not satisfied, and they're very ungrateful. They were in a time of transition. They were in a time of transition from slavery, which the past, which they were very familiar with, and they were being brought to a new land and to a new life. But in the transition period, they were uncomfortable. Things were different for sure, but they hadn't reached the end yet, and so they grumbled. In Exodus 16 it says, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, where we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. I think that's probably an exaggeration. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They didn't get the picture. They didn't see the hand of God. They were grumbling and complaining. He was doing a new thing in their lives. God was doing a new thing in the lives of these people, and they just couldn't see it. And if they could see it, they didn't accept it. God is a renewing God. He's forever doing new things. He wants to bring us from where we are to somewhere in the future, to the next phase and the next stage of our life. And that's going to be new. It's going to be different. It's going to be better because God's hand is in it. But people can't accept God moving in their lives. People resist the new, and they reject opportunities for revival and renewal in their spiritual life, in their spiritual experience. We like it our way, people say. And when something comes along that's going to change that, people grumble and they complain and they resist. Isaiah 43 says, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, referring to Exodus, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again. It's referencing the death and the destruction of Pharaoh's army. Extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Then Isaiah the prophet goes on to say, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God's forever doing a new thing. He wants to improve things. He wants to improve you and me. Our changes that go on in our life are that continuous process of God's sanctification, drawing us closer and closer to him, making us more and more Christ-like. Like the potter on the wheel, God is shaping us to be the kinds of people he wants us to be. A couple of weeks ago, we were reading in John 3:19, it says, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but men loved darkness and wouldn't come into the light. We like the darkness, we like the old ways, we want it the way we want it. And when change comes, we resist, we rebel, we grumble and complain. Every time God wants to do a new thing, people complain, they resist. It seems to be a human condition. But God persists with these Israelites. And in Numbers 13, we have the story of Moses sending the 12 spies into Canaan to check out the land. And the report comes back, and 10 of the spies were afraid, but 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, says, we can take the land because God's on our side. We can do this. We can get to the other side. This is exciting. This is going to be a great change. It's going to benefit us all. 2 of them said that. The 10 were afraid. They didn't want the change. They didn't want the new thing. They wanted to stay just where they were. And in Numbers 14 it says, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? On this day of remembrance after the liberation of Europe, the people raised up and said, it would be better if we were back under the Nazis. It doesn't compute, does it? These people actually said that. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose another leader and go back to Egypt. That's the gratitude. Mumbling, grumbling, complaining. They would not move forward. They would rather go back. How sad it is then that God had gotten them this far. They've gotten them right to the border of the promised land. They'd gone in and taken a look. And there was a good report that came back, although there were some challenges that lay ahead. It was an occupied land. They were going to have to work at it. But they'd gotten right to the border and turned back. And the psalmist in Psalm 106 says, they forgot the God who saved them. Psalm 106, verse 21. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. They forgot the God who saved them. And in verse 24 it says, then they despised the pleasant land. They didn't want the future. The pleasant land, they despised it. They did not believe his promise. And in verse 25, a very telling statement. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the Lord. What does it mean to grumble in their tents? Tent is a small place. Only a few people could be in a tent at a time. So this speaks to little groups of two or three or four people who gather together and grumble and dissent together. They entertain a bitter spirit among the small group, a complaining spirit, and this is not pleasing to God at all for God's people. Grumblers and complainers are no friends of God. God can't work with those kinds of people. This is why he had to leave that generation in the desert for 40 years until they all died out. They had proven themselves unworthy of the promised land. So God left them to die in the wilderness, condemning their children and grandchildren to 40 years of wandering. Grumblers and complainers are no friends of God. God does not like this kind of behavior. It is a sin. It is a sin. To have a grumbling, complaining, dissenting spirit means you have to repent. There's no shortcut here. There's no shortcut. If you're a complainer, a dissenter, a grumbler, go home. Go to your room, close the door, get on your knees, and repent. Ask God to give you a new spirit, to revive your spirit, to give you a spirit of joy and hope, and trust in him for the future, for your future. The end of Psalm 106, that passage, verse 26, says, so he, God, swore to them with uplifted hand, that he would make them fall in the desert. And he did. He rescued that generation to bring them out of slavery into a promised land, and they rejected it. And so they died where they were, in the desert. Again, Numbers 14, it says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert your bodies will fall, every one of you, 20 years old or more, who has counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. That's a harsh rebuke and condemnation for an entire generation that grumbled and complained. Grumbled and complained at all the things God had done for me. Paul picks up this story in 1 Corinthians 10. He says, do not be idolaters as some of them were. And Paul is referring to the Exodus here. He said, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. All the way through the water in the desert, God was rebuking these people for their behavior. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. This message of the Israelites carries all the way through to the New Testament. They didn't forget it. But sometimes we don't learn from past mistakes. So our question today for all of us, particularly on this Remembrance Day when we have so much to be grateful for. Are you a grumbler? Are you a murmurer? Are you one who complains a lot? Are you one of those that gets into little huddles and whispers and murmurs and gossips? If so, the cure is repentance. The cure is to ask God to put a new spirit in you. So on this Remembrance Day, we must remember two things. We live like so few people in the world. We have been freed and we continue to fight against the tyranny of oppressive regimes. While millions suffer under oppression and brutal regimes, we can get up on Sunday morning and go to church. Or not. We go to a mosque, go to a synagogue, go to a temple, or go to the mall, wherever your place of worship happens to be. And that's the freedom we have, and that freedom came at a price. So we have nothing in Canada to complain about. So I was doing some research for this, and the research is that only 13%, that's 13% of the world's population live in what is called a full democracy. That means, if my math is correct, 87% of this world's population is not living with the freedom that we have. We're a tiny, tiny, tiny part of the population of this world with the freedoms we have. We have so much to be thankful for and so very little to complain about that we should not be grumblers and complainers and dissenters. We should have the joy of our hearts of the freedom that we have. And the second thing, and it's the more important thing, is what Jesus has done for you. While you were still a sinner, Jesus died for your forgiveness and for your salvation. And he will raise you up on the last day. Everyone who is called on the name of the Lord will be saved. You who have repented of your sins and have received God's grace and forgiveness. And your names are now written in the book of life. You have nothing to grumble about. You have nothing to complain about. It's a day to remember. It's a day to have joy in our hearts for all that we have. For the wonderful freedoms that we have. And for the wonderful Savior that we have. God is a God of new things. He doesn't want to just leave us where we are. He continually wants to renew us and revive us. He continues to raise up leaders for his people every day. And the people of God have a choice to respect those leaders that God has placed in leadership positions, or to be like the stiff-necked people in Moses' time and be grumblers and complainers and say, let's get new leaders and go back to the old way. As Moses found out, God is in control. As Moses found out, when you fight God, God wins. When you fight God, God wins. God will lead us home. He does have his hand on you and your home and your family, and he does have his hand on this family of believers, on this congregation. But God is doing a new thing. He's raising up leaders. There will be new things in the future. Grumble and complain if you wish, but be displeasing to God if you wish. But God is calling this whole congregation to look forward to a new life, to new opportunities that he will show us. But he needs all our hearts softened to hear him. When changes come, be on board with the changes, or choose. God struck them down. The grumblers and complainers were struck down. They never got to see the new promised land. God rebuked them. Don't be a grumbler. Don't incur the displeasure of God and grieve the Holy Spirit. Live lives of joy and expectation, and be joyfully looking at the new future that God has in store for each one of us. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, in this day of remembrance, we remember all the wonderful things you've done for us as a church and as a country, and we give you thanks for that, Lord. May we celebrate this day in memory of those who died to give us the freedom. And may we celebrate this day in memory of the one who died to give us salvation. Lord, you are our God. We humbly submit to your leadership. We humbly submit to the new thing that you will show us in the weeks and months ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As he is mighty to say, no matter where you've been, no matter what situation your life has been, or attitude of heart that you've had, God can save you from that. He is mighty to save. Indeed, we serve a conquering God and King who conquered the grave, who has power over life and death. When we go from this place, go knowing this is a day of remembrance, a season of remembrance. Remember those who died to give us this freedom as a country, but also remember that Christ died to give you freedom, to live a life of joy and hope. Go in peace. Amen.